Welcome to the Back Pocket Life Stories podcast. My name is Joe Brand and my co-host is Julia Meyer Gross. We aim to provide some uplift to your day and we'll begin with a couple of brief stories that highlight positive encounters we've experienced as travelers in foreign countries. From there, we muse on about people's attitudes and how they might be shaped by the greater social structure. Are all Americans really friendly? Are all Europeans really friendly? Really?
One funny thing that happened when I came to Philadelphia was that we had my whole family over for the first time. And for the first time, we wanted to take the train and to go downtown to see Center City. And we stood at the Elkins Park train station, and the lady working there sold us one of probably the most expensive tickets you could ever get with all inclusive for, I guess, 3 weeks. I don't know. We had no clue what to purchase. I didn't know the differences between the tickets. So I just got like a super expensive ticket for my parents and my siblings and my kids and everybody. And I think we ended up paying about $80 for one trip to go to Center City. It included a crazy amount of sightseeing opportunities and stuff when we just really wanted a ticket to go to Center City. And then on the train, we sat and we spoke, you know, in a foreign language. And the SEPTA conductor, he approached us and he heard that we spoke in a different language. He's like, oh, where are you from? And we got into a short conversation. And he said, oh, it's so nice you came here. And do you like America? And you know how these conversations unfold. And then he looked at our tickets and he said, why did you get like this ticket? Nobody gets this ticket. And I said, well, this is what they sold us. I said what we needed, and they said that's the ticket that you need to get. And he said, that's crazy. I can't even pinch a hole in this because this is crazy. I mean, you should never pay that much money just to go to Center City. And he was so sweet, and he felt so bad for us that he didn't put a hole in that ticket. He said, you know what, just keep it, at least use it for another time so you get at least something out of it. And I thought that was so cute. And then my parents were totally astonished. They're like, I've never seen somebody be so kind. I can't believe he just, you know, he broke the rules just because he wanted to do something nice for us. And so we thought, well, okay, so we can use it for the way back and then another time. On the way back from, I think it was Suburban Station, we took the train again. And a different conductor, of course, looked at our ticket and said, oh my gosh, I haven't seen this ticket in years. Like, why would you get this ticket? Same story. He said, I can't with a good conscience pinch a hole in this ticket because this is like, you should have never gotten this. And the funniest thing is this story continued because for a whole week, we took the train to Center City with that ticket and no conductor wanted to pinch a hole in that ticket. So I still have that ticket, actually. I should take a picture. It's really funny. And yeah, it never got validated.
You should go back to the original train station and say, hey, what the heck? What is this? You sold us this thing.
Right. But I wasn't upset because apparently, you know, somehow justice came to us anyway. But I guess it's one of the things where Americans are just so kind that they don't care about the rules. If they feel that you've been wronged, they're on your side. And I think that's very special about Americans.
I was at Whole Foods, a few weeks ago. And I realized I do the self-check thing now. It's sort of a habit now of I just don't go through the regular cashier lines. I walked out of the store and walked maybe half a block away And I realized that there was one item that I hadn't scanned. So, you know, essentially got it for free. But I felt, well, I don't think that's right. I didn't intend to do that. So I'm going to go back to the store. And so I'm carrying a couple of bags of groceries. And I go back to the store and I go to the front desk. And I said, you know, I owe you folks for this item. It was like $4 and change. She said, she took a look at it. She says, don't worry about it. Jeff Bezos can afford it. And that was it. I didn't have a chance to rectify the situation, and just Jeff Bezos lost $4.
That's funny. Right. Don't let him hear it.
And here she is. She's, you know, the manager or whatever she was, you know, at the desk there, and, you know, the one who makes these determinations. So it really aligns with what you just said, though. You know, regardless of what the rules are, if they feel there's an injustice, that's how they handle it.
And I can say in Europe, that wouldn't happen to you, because people are just have a different mentality when it comes to rules, and everybody has to adhere to the rules, and they wouldn't make an exception for you just because.
It's not just, Germany. You've had that, feel that in other countries.
No, everywhere. Yeah, it's all over Europe. They're very rule-bound.
Interesting. I thought we were. We have, you know, mountains of regulations and legislation, and you would think, you know. But there's some streak there.
No, what I find interesting is that I think because politics don't always, or people feel in America that the politicians do very little for you, Americans have this attitude, if I don't do it, nobody's going to do it for me.
In
if that makes sense. Yeah, because you have little support from your government in a lot of social justice topics or aspects of life, that people feel more politically active and responsible for their own life and the life of others because they don't rely on their government. Usually when you have, let's say you have, also with fundraising, Americans are very giving in terms of fundraising because they know you can't expect the government to chip in for you. So in Europe, people would say, if you have money issues, they would say, oh, go to this social security service or go there. You know, they push the responsibility for to help or to assist people in need on the governments.
In Europe, they do that.
Yeah. People are less inclined to see themselves as an active part of politics, I guess.
That's so interesting. It's like the downside of having the social safety net, right? Because in this country, so many people fall through the cracks, right? They may not have the connections or the wherewithal even to get assistance that's not even government related, meaning they just don't know how to go about it. When there is a social safety net and everyone is taken care of, if you've got a problem, it's like, go tell it to the government. Is that what you're saying? You should be able to handle this yourself.
Yeah, there must be a form that you can fill out, or there must be, in a way, the responsibility is pushed away from the individuals to a governmental level. I'm still amazed if you look at those fundraising websites in America. In a couple of days, people are able to raise money from all kinds of people. And if it's just 10 or 15 bucks or some, but people want to give something if somebody's in need.
Really?
That would not happen in Europe. No, it wouldn't. And it's not common. It's not common to ask for money because it's shameful.
So you don't have Kickstarter and things like that?
No. And I've never heard anybody do that before. Also, if you need an operation, well, it's covered. You know, if you need most of the things that are really big issues, like having a medical procedure done, that's all covered in the European social systems and medical insurances. But the giving mentality, I think, makes Americans very special.
So that now that you have a foot in both worlds, right? What if you had your way? What would you choose, or what would you recommend for societies to evolve and thrive? Is there one answer or no?
I guess if I could, merge the American politeness with and the social justice activism with the security of feeling that you, whatever happens, you're always safe. I think that would be the perfect society. But I don't think you can have one without the other. I don't think you would have the American people be so giving and be so social inclined to have an agenda on social justice if it didn't exist.
That's such a different take on what you would expect. It's hard for me to believe, if we go back to World War II, right, there were very many, many instances of people being selfless to the point of putting their own lives at stake to help others, right? I mean, saving other people.
Yeah.
So in some ways, that's un-American. I mean, there's not everyone, or maybe it's just a human thing. Not everyone is willing or capable of doing that. But I don't know if it's government-induced or culturally induced or where that comes from.
From your perspective, you've been to Europe. What is your assessment of how people behave, or what kind of differences did you see in behavior and attitude?
I found that people were very open and willing to help. Now, I'm not talking about any major deal, but just a stranger. They would be very generous and sharing and helpful in every which way. That was my impression. Like, wow, these people are really nice. My impression was, in this country, if you're trying to find your way, people won't take the time to help you. I don't know. You know, maybe that's changed. Of course, now if you have a cell phone, you can find your way, right? You don't even need a map. You don't need anyone's help to point you in the right direction. So I don't know if that's having a negative effect on people's sense of interconnectivity, so to speak, or interdependence, if there's less of that now. I don't know. But I mean, to answer your question simply, I also always encountered people who were nice and helpful and generous. I was on a train. I think I was going from France to Italy. And there was just a nice elderly couple sitting opposite me. I couldn't even speak the language at that point. And they shared their lunch with me. Maybe I spoke broken French with them or something. Maybe it was all hand gestures. I don't know. But I've never forgotten that, because they were just sharing what they had with me. And at the time, I was just, you know,
that's sweet.
An 18-year-old kid, you know, with a backpack. So, yeah. So things like that really stick with you, though, that spontaneous generosity.
I wonder if you just see the world and people with different eyes if you come to a place as a stranger. You know, that you tend to see more of the good because you haven't seen a lot of the bad yet. Or you haven't, you know, if you didn't dive deep into society, you haven't seen the struggles and the issues and stuff, that things seem better or more positive. Because people said to me when I said, oh, Americans are so friendly, I love how friendly and polite Americans are, they were all shocked. They said, what? Have you been to the same Philadelphia where I grew up? And I, you know, that different perspective, because you don't come as a stranger. You probably sometimes, if you live in a place, I wonder if you sometimes don't notice how nice people are, just because
I think there's truth to that. It's a combination, though, because I also think people say you get back what you put out, right? So if you're putting out sort of a chip on your shoulder, angry, you're just not going to get that same positive response. And you and your family, yeah, you were foreigners, but you were open. You were just trying to go about your business, and you probably didn't have an angry look on your faces. But I think it's a combination, right? But sure, now that you've lived in Philadelphia for so many years, say, you know both sides, right? You know there's good people and bad people and helpful people and unhelpful people. But even with that, I mean, this conversation is kind of a reminder. It still matters what your countenance is when you go out the door, right? Whether you even you know, this week I'm surprised that walking down the street someone will say have a good day or smile or whatever. So I still think it matters what you present to the world, whether you've lived here 30 years or you just arrived off the boat. You know, I don't yes. think Americans are all one thing or Europeans are all one thing. It still comes down to the individual.
WHYY just had a feature on the American society is so, why there's this sense of aggression for, I think, over a year already. But it was interesting because mm-hmm. they were asking a psychologist what he thinks, why are people so on edge? Why are people so angry? And I was just thinking that the pandemic that we experienced really was also experiencing the absence of a smile, as I want to call it. And what does that do to people if you don't see people smile anymore? You know, usually in America, you go to the supermarket, you see people smile everywhere because the service industry is just very friendly and covered with smiles, in my opinion.
In this country?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And you go to the supermarket, somebody says yeah. something nice and smiles at you and right. says, hey, hon, no problem. You know, that kind of small talk that just always comes with a smile. And I wonder if just not seeing those smiles on a daily or even weekly basis, if that just feels like you're losing a piece of happiness.
Oh, absolutely. There's this whole level of what I would call inconsequential human encounters that actually are part of the stuff of life, right? It's like, I don't know, you're crossing the street and the cop winks at you or buy a cup of coffee and the lady said, you know, we'll say, is that all you want, hon? Or, you know, that kind of stuff. And when everyone's wearing a mask, you're not reading those signals. You're not, maybe not even bothering to try really because everyone's undercover. Yeah, I think that's a huge loss. And mm-hmm. we're somewhat emerging from that bunker, right? I mean, with the shots that people have and the loosening, I don't, the premature loosening of restrictions isn't good, but based on statistics, as things loosen up or open up a little bit of that is coming back. But I think you're absolutely correct that it has an impact. And what about the loss of family, right? You can't hang out with family or visit family as freely as you did before. And that used to be the currency of life, right? Even if you saw them once mm-hmm. a year. Well, this family I haven't seen in 2 or 3 years now because of this. And I think that's a real loss.
Yeah, that's sad.
Maybe the pandemic has also made us more mm-hmm. mindful of those little kindnesses and little connections, how important they are.
Through this whole turbulent last year, I've heard so many people, including myself, say, I don't want to turn on the TV anymore. I can't watch the news anymore. I can't, you know, so many people said, I just can't watch all these horrible things happening anymore. People took a step back from watching the news even because it was overbearing. Where before, I don't think, you know, you could watch TV and you saw the bad things and you said, oh, this is horrible. And you were able to walk away. But the rest of your life was filled with interaction and social uplift and hugs. And, you know, all these things that made all that bad feeling, horrible feeling go away and get better. And now it didn't exist. And I think that's why it's so important to nurture the soul right now and go back to those small stories that gave you this really endorphin push and that little spark of happiness and going back to places and memories where you know this was good in my life, this good thing happened to me, and to take the focus a little bit away from all the bad stuff.
Who's to say that's not more important than all the bad stuff? And the bad stuff, I mean, things happen, but I think when you turn on the TV, you're getting someone who's pushing that. Like they want you to think that everything's terrible. They want you to keep watching their show and hanging on these things, you know. So, yeah, but our tolerance of that is like very much diminished because we don't have the something to balance it out with.
And also it's harder to remember the good stuff. For some yes. reason, the brain just works. The imprint of the bad is so, if I asked you, tell me three things that didn't work out this week, you would snip, snap, you would come up with probably five, right? If I asked you, oh, what good thing happened this week? You'd have to probably think really hard. That's at least the way it is for me. And somehow the positive things are usually overshadowed by the bad stuff. And that's why we need to sort of exercise of getting back to the good place.
Yeah. And that's part of that is hardwiring, right? We're hardwired to watch out for danger for our own survival and that kind of thing. So there is some scientific basis for that. But yeah, I agree with you. Yeah.
That's why we should call this an exercise in happiness. send us your stories, send us your happy moments.
Do you also have a story you'd like to share that illuminated a chance encounter that made your day? Send along your true story to backpocketlifestories@gmail.com and it may become the subject of our next podcast. Thanks for listening.